it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We'll have Ben Arthur from Fox Sports NFL with us later this hour at 8:45 to close out the show. We'll get into the Titans, the AFC South, all things NFL with him. So looking forward to that. Now, taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You know, Ian Safar is the best in the business. There's no doubt about it. I mean, his mashups are legendary. And Ian Safar has very quickly, Joe, found the audio of you masquering the chair on the program.
No.
Let's go to it. Let's revisit a nice moment in the history of the Robbie and Rex Road program of Rex Road exploding a chair at Bridgestone Arena.
I think, yes, you got to have some concern because Sombio did a good job, and he was kind of next in line, and now they're in a tougher spot from a depth standpoint. So it's put them in quite a bind. And
Joe Rex Road recovering from whatever just happened to Joe Rex Road. I think you may be unplugged as well. So. There we go.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Hey, Ladarius unplugged me. That was good. Did we hear the crash, though? So I just broke a chair here.
My goodness. And to think we were having a nice conversation about Tyson Brilo.
Yeah.
And his work at offensive tackle.
I couldn't even remember the offensive tackle we were discussing. It's Ty freaking Sobrio. Oh, my God.
That thing. I mean, you could hear it. That chair pretty much disintegrated, man.
Yeah, it did. It was
just
crazy.
Buckled under the overwhelming weight.
I think we later determined that the chair was broken previously, right? Like, it was wobbly. And then I don't remember if it was Chase or who it was, but they put it back in like the rotation, and I think just purposely sabotaged you there. But my goodness, you just fell down next to me and I just kept going. There was an interview to be done with Jim Wyatt. You were on the floor next to me. There's no time to help you.
Yeah. Look, I got a question about Tyson Brilo. I mean, you know, you can get off the floor whenever you can and, you know, you can have the next question.
You lay down on the job as long as you want to down there.
I remember Ryan Porth showing up that day a little later, and he was so mad we didn't have video. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, I remember
just
Ryan.
To see me just disappear from the table, like in an instant, just, phew, you know.
It's a shame we don't, because we'd probably both be rich if we had that. I mean, just the amount of money we'd make off that. My goodness.
Just turn it into like a YouTube channel or something. Yeah.
Man. I remember Porth showing up because you could hear him laughing from Broadway. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. It's like
Porth hyena laugh.
I think that one's pretty squarely number one on my all-time list. That was awesome.
There were some other submissions. Dennis pointing out the wonderful rap I wrote for Katie on our anniversary. And also Joey from Bellevue. I don't even remember Milf Island exactly. I don't remember the context of Milf Island. I do remember that we talked about Milf Island.
I'll have to look for that one.
Yeah.
That sounds like a winner in my book.
Oh, yeah. No, that could be. Yeah, you could definitely do a lot with that one probably. Yeah.
Oh, man. I really appreciate Michael from Madison for bringing this up, going down the rabbit hole of the Mount Rushmore of things that have happened here. I mean, I had forgotten really about the untouchable Pekka, but I feel like that one probably needs more love in the rotation as well.
Yes. My goodness.
Well, there was that one. There was the win one for the Pekka. I mean, there's been a couple of different ones that you've thrown out there.
Yeah, it's probably good he's not still the goalie. probably would have waded into some more waters at one point or another. Yeah.
Josh saying, wasn't Ty about to retire? And for the record, I think he did a decent job filling in for Taylor Lewan when he was hurt. They pulled him from the starting position when Lewan miraculously wanted to come back, only for Tyson Briler to retire and Taylor to still be hurt and sue the Titans. I'm trying to remember the timing of when Tyson Briler just stopped, but he had a brief run where he was okay for the Titans.
Yeah, he was. And actually, if you want to talk about, since there's a lot of love for Vrabel out there, some accuse us of having love for, there's a guy who did not, I don't think, enjoy playing for Vrabel too much. So, for the record, not everybody loves Mike Vrabel.
Yep, that is true. Man, just a beautiful trip down memory lane there. Really enjoyed that. The NFL Combine is this week. The draft right around the corner for the Titans. We discussed some of this earlier in the show in terms of what people are looking for from the Titans. We welcome more of your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, what are you looking at this week if you're the Tennessee Titans? What are you taking away from one of your favorite events of the year in the NFL Combine? What's important?
Yeah. Well, by the way, yeah, we'll get some stuff today. They're splitting those guys. Is that right? Is that our understanding?
I believe so.
Yeah, which is kind of annoying for them, but it's way better when you just get, you know, GM and coach same time. Like Philly's both, all Philly went today in the morning, and then they're done. But anyway, obviously the edge rushers, you're almost for sure. In all likelihood, you're going to get a chance at Bailey and Bain, and you're probably not getting a chance at Reese, but you don't know. You never know how these things will go. You could be surprised. So I think you, all the homework on them, all the measurables, whatever they do, the interviews are critical. The receivers, same thing. Those are obvious, right? I said this earlier. I'll say it again. Yeah, I also think that this week for Ty Simpson could be relevant to the Titans. Like Mel Kiper was just up here yelling about how he has him going 21 to the Steelers. And yep. I think a lot of people seem to think if Ty Simpson goes in the first round, that's the most likely spot. Makes sense. Some people don't think he's going in the first round. We just did a beat writer mock draft. He didn't go in the first round, but that's this league. It's hard for me to buy that he's not going in the first round. If he has a great week, he is throwing. Good for him. I love that. I think we've gotten to the point where GMs and personnel people and coaches, when a player wants to compete, they're like, okay, I like this. Now, he has incentive because he's trying to prove he's a first-rounder, so it makes sense. But if he throws really well, I haven't talked to him. He's going to be great in the rooms with these guys, the coach's son. If the medicals check out of the back, could Ty Simpson, should someone fall in love with him to the point that they want to move up and he's like a high pick? I mean, it would still only give us two high quarterbacks and probably two first-round quarterbacks in the entire draft. That could be something that also is relevant to the Titans' ultimate outcome here.
What's going to happen with Nussmeier? Because, I mean, heading into this year, he was near the top of the list in terms of people thinking about first-round quarterbacks. I understand that he didn't play all that great this year, but, like, you know, I'm looking at pieces right now of people who have the most to prove, most to gain by throwing at the combine. Obviously, Ty Simpson is there, but Nussmeier has got the size, he's got the profile, and I keep coming back to who in the world is going to be the third quarterback drafted here. Like, is it going to be him? Is it going to be Carson Beck? And where are those guys going to be drafted? Like, is Nussmeier a second round guy? Is he a third round guy? Like, what's that look like?
Yeah, great questions. And a guy who was absolutely talked about as the number one overall pick early in the year, early in the season, like after the win at Clemson. Carson Beck, go back to last year, the beginning of last year, talked about as he's going to be a number one overall pick guy, a top five pick guy, you know? And I think Carson Beck acquitted himself pretty well overall. The way it ended, tough, you know, but and sort of brings back some of the criticisms. But still, he helped himself last year without question.
Yeah.
And I think both of them are talented at, you know, Nussmeier, another coach's son, by the way. Yeah, that's a great question. And that's the thing with both of them. Like, is it possible, you know, could we possibly see both of them all of a sudden get talked about moving into the first. I wouldn't be shocked at all. I tend to – we finally had that draft where all the questions about quarterbacks actually like manifested itself in quarterbacks going later and not in the first round. The Malik Willis draft, you know, the number one free agent in the NFL.
Yeah, now he's going to be the best player in the league. Yeah.
So, like, at least we have – there is proof of concept there because, like, before that, I honestly just – I would have just told you, like, every year there's going to be three or four quarterbacks taking the first round. I don't care. I don't care where they rate relative to other classes. Like, it's just going to happen. But maybe those guys – it's certainly a good year to come out as a quarterback, right? Because you're just the competition. And even Mendoza, I mean, he's going to go number one overall. I've already seen Dan Orlovsky, like, tweet out sort of vague things that makes me think he's not in love with his film. I don't think he's a number one overall quarterback talent, but that's where he's going.
He's the number one overall quarterback post-game interviewer. I know that. I can't wait to see him be interviewed after he gets drafted.
You are right about that. I need him and, like, Mark Davis to do a podcast together.
It'd be awesome. I mean, him in Vegas, that's got some potential. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to on the NFL draft coming next, plus a former Titan back in the game. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Something big is coming to warm up Nashville. Right Time HVAC and Cromwell Media are about to change one family's winter. Stay tuned for how you could win. We are live on Robbie and Rex Road from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the NFL draft at 615-737-1025. It is Combine Week. I believe Robert Saleh is speaking later today. Mike Borgonzi will be speaking tomorrow. So a couple of Titans addressing the media over the next couple of days here. Joey, we were asked about Jeremiah Love earlier and whether or not the Titans should give consideration to drafting him at number four. You know, depending on where you look when it comes to, like, the players and their rankings heading into this, I mean, Jeremiah Love is highly ranked. I mean, he's going to go, I think, lower in the draft, Joe, of where he's actually ranked in terms of the player that he is. So I'm interested to see exactly where that lands. Now, we've talked about Love a little bit here. You know, I have a hard time seeing him getting past – 9 at Kansas City. I could be wrong about that, but I'd be surprised if that's the case. I think 8 for New Orleans would make a lot of sense there too. But I mean, I'm looking at, you know, Dane Brugler and where he's got him in terms of player rankings. He's number 3. Like, he's got Arville Reese at 1, Mendoza 2, and Jeremiah Love at 3. So we had a similar conversation about Caleb Downs, who he's got at number 4. You know, if you feel like he's the best player available in the draft, and those two are probably a better example than the other ones, given the positions that they play. I'm interested to see where he goes. I mean, 3, 4, and 5 for Brugler. So you're talking about running back at number 3 for Jeremiah Love in terms of Brugler's player rankings. Downs is a safety at number 4. And then Sonny Styles is a linebacker at number 5. Like, all of those guys are good. The positions they play are going to make this interesting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we definitely could be – we could be looking at just some non-premium positions, which I think sometimes people make too big a deal out of, going higher than you would think just because of the quality of the player in question. You know, someone texted us earlier what we were talking about. What about Love? Would it be shocking, you know, if the Titans go with a running back there? Somewhat, yes. But if you believe – it's kind of like the same thing as my offensive tackle – thing that everybody jumped all over. If you're the Titans and you think he's Saquon Barkley, if you're the Titans and you think he's fill in the gap of, like, the top backs in this league and what they have meant to teams, like a star who who absolutely changes. I mean, we just saw the Tennessee Titans do pretty well thanks to a running back as their star. If you think he's that, okay, well, then you shouldn't pass him up. I mean, if you think he's that and you really like all these edge rushers, you need an edge rusher, but you got a question, David Bailey, is he going to be, you know, is he stout enough and Bain the arm length or whatever? You got questions, but you have no question that Jeremiah Love is a star? Well, that's smart drafting. Titans have all kinds of needs. You know, and need has to take a back seat, especially to me when you are not close. You know, need. We're going to talk about J-Rob. You think about like what Need did to the Titans in the second J-Rob draft after a really good first draft when they're like, well, the best receiver is Corey Davis, so let's go with Corey Davis at number 5 overall. Was it 5?
Yes.
You know, that's the problem. When you focus on need as opposed to who is the best football player we could possibly draft right now. And no, they were never going to draft Patrick Mahomes, everybody, so please don't bring that up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Brugler says, quote, for some teams, Jeremiah Love will have a higher draft grade than Ashton Jeanty did last year. And look, I know when you look at Jeanty and the year he had for the Raiders this year, you know, it did not live up to expectations, right?
No.
Now, if you go back and watch them, their offensive line is terrible.
Bad.
Just awful.
Bad, bad offense.
And, you know, he ended up with 975 yards, 5 touchdowns. He averaged 3.7 a carry. It's not very good. Like, it's not a very good season from Ashton Jeanty there. I am interested, you know, if they can ever find a way to build a somewhat competent offensive line, what he looks like with the Raiders.
Yeah, when I watched him play, he looked like the same guy. Just a guy who didn't have a chance. You still hope someone like that on their own does a little bit more to push it forward. But that's the thing about whoever the Titans get, if they are getting a new running back. I mean, they're coming into – I'm pretty confident in this group as a run-blocking unit, and I think that's got to be a big part of, like, right from the jump next season – you know, the focus. I thought it should have been more last season when Brian Callahan was still the coach, but I also think the offensive line got better. And they certainly as a run blocking group. So you bring in if you have a real difference maker at running back, you know, this offense to me is not going to hold that running back back.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I just know that if the Titans use a pick at running back on number 4, the discourse there is going to be interesting to see how that goes. Even though he could end up being a great player here. Like, you know, people are talking about like the helping Cam Ward part of this. Like, we had a texter earlier, Joe, talking about like if you're gonna spend a pick that high, do it on something that helps Cam Ward. Well, I think helping Cam Ward is very relative, right? Like, obviously, you're directly helping Cam Ward when you're drafting a wide receiver, right? You're directly helping Cam Ward if they drafted Jeremiah Love and he ends up being some great running back. But like, I wouldn't dismiss drafting an edge rusher from the standpoint of it helping Cam Ward. Like, if your defense can get off the field more and get you the ball back, guess what? That helps Cam Ward too. So like, I know we don't always view it that way, but a good defense, an edge rusher that comes in and picks up a sack on third down and gets your defense off the field and gives the ball back to your quarterback more often, that absolutely helps Cam Ward. So I think we gotta remember that in this discussion too when you're talking about the Cam Ward part of this.
Yeah, not being a Cheeks football team is going to help your quarterback in a variety of ways. But no, defense is a big part of helping getting the ball back. You know, just not putting pressure on you. You having the entire playbook open for as much of the game as possible, as opposed to, okay, well, down double figures here in the third quarter, and it's basically that they can just pin their ears back and come after me now because that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
Huge difference. No, it all matters. There's direct and indirect, but I think one of the best friends of a quarterback is a good defense.
So what do you make – we've talked a lot about some of these first-round guys that, you know, whether it's Carnell Tate or Mekhi Lemon or whatever it is at wide receiver. What do you think of guys like, I don't know, Omar Cooper out of Indiana? Guys that may go first-round, like I think like Cooper specifically, I think Brugler's got him at 27. So we'll see kind of where he ends up in the pecking order there. But you've got him that's going to be in the mix. We played the clip from Matt Miller earlier in the show about like guys that, you know, wide receivers, maybe 11 out of the top 50 there. There's Jeremy Bernard from Alabama. There's Brazel from Tennessee. Like those guys could be available by the time the Titans get on the board in the second round. So like, what do you make of some of those guys that we probably not talked about as much when it comes to receivers a little bit later, either at the back end of the first round or the early part of the second round.
I like all those guys. That any of them would help. I also don't. I don't look at any of them as a number one receiver. So, now, again, does that matter? Like, if you have two, three really good receivers, does someone have to be designated? Does someone have to be a 1,500-yard receiver? It'd be great because when you have someone like that, then you start dictating things to the defense and opening other things up for you. You know, I mean, you want a star number one receiver. But a guy like that, I mean, you need more depth, you need more talent, more competition. I guess, though, if I'm not getting Mekhi Lemon in this draft, and again, maybe I'm being way too restrictive on this, and I'm probably not giving Carnell Tate the credit he deserves, but Mekhi Lemon is a guy I think is going to be a star in the NFL. I don't know that I believe that about any other receiver. And if that's the case, again, is Ridley staying? What are they doing in free agency? How good? What is the next step for DK and Io Manor? It's just like with the other needs, I feel like I'd like to see something else, you know, with the next pick. But yeah, they're good. They're all good. No question about it. I mean, I think Mendoza and Cooper have both kind of maybe elevated each other a little bit and been elevated, but just by the unbelievable story of Indiana football. But he's a good player.
By the way, we had somebody ask us about Eli Stowers and where we think he's going to go. Brugler has him as the number two tight end on his board at the moment. So, you know, the Sadiq kid out of Oregon is obviously number one. I think he'll probably go in the first round. And I think the number two tight end that he's got on his board right now is Stowers, who I think he's got at number 48 overall in the draft.
Yeah. He seems like a pretty strong bet to be gone by middle of the second round.
Yeah, I would agree. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get into a former Titan back in the NFL coming up next. Plus, the Titans are teasing a jersey reveal. We'll get into that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We'll be joined by Ben Arthur from Fox Sports NFL coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe, John Robinson back in the game. He has been hired in Miami to join John Eric Sullivan's staff down there. His official title, Joe, I will get it pulled up for John Robinson with the Miami Dolphins, is, according to Ian Rappaport, senior personnel executive. So John Robinson back in the game as senior personnel executive with the Miami Dolphins. Your thoughts on J-Rob back in the NFL and the AFC East, which apparently all the former Titans are going to now.
Yeah, well, good for him. Good to see him back in the game. I always thought that he should be back in the game at some point. Got that sweet, sweet Adams money for a few years after he got bizarrely fired in the middle of a season. And now he's back in the game, and he should be, and we'll see if, you know, he's ever a GM again. I don't know, senior personnel executive, I don't know where that would fall in the pecking order there under John Eric Sullivan. It's not like he's, you know, player personnel director or whatever. You know, these titles have changed too with a lot in the NFL, but he's in the game, and he should be. He was a good GM here overall. He was a good GM. He was looking like a great GM as we entered this decade, and then it obviously went the wrong way, and certainly, as bizarre as the firing was in season, like at the end of that season, I think it would have been a healthy debate about should he be fired or not. Still would have been like, gosh, Amy Adams Strong just gave Vrabel and J-Rob those huge deals. Surely that's you're going to have a little more patience than that, right? But there would have been people arguing for it. And again, they would have had a case. It would have been a good debate. Sure. Instead, the debate was just was randomly ended a couple days after an embarrassing day at Philadelphia, which I'm sure had nothing to do with it. So he's back in the game. He should be. He's a good GM here. And, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if Miami does really well and they come out of this bad spot they're in, then the people who are working with John Eric Sullivan get rewarded, typically.
So, Joe, the Titans are teasing, I guess, a new jersey announcement coming up. We've talked about like the stuff that Easton Freeze put out there last week and the rebranding that's going on. Well, there's now billboards up around town. And earlier this morning, they tweeted, quote, "A new chapter begins, 3/12/26. And there's the light blue Titans, and then there's like a darker blue TriStar kind of thing tossed into the stitching of the fabric there. So I guess, Joe, that the jersey, the new branding stuff is coming out on March the 12th. I'm interested to get PK's thoughts on this. I know, you know, he's talked about that rivalry jersey that they're doing this year that is completely separate of all this. So I'm interested to see what this is. But what do you make of the new chapter beginning for the Titans on March the 12th, apparently?
Yeah, they're throwing these little Easter eggs out here. So, very exciting. I just would like to, let's see now, March 12th, that's Thursday, right? Thursday, March 12th.
Let's see here.
I think it is. It is. It's Thursday, March 12th. I just like to point out that, you know, on that day, let's see, we might be looking at, Vanderbilt. We might be looking at Vanderbilt and Tennessee both playing. We might be looking at games like, you know, Vandy, Georgia, Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, Texas A&M. We got four games at Bridgestone, okay, in the SEC tournament here. And I'm not saying the Titans need to worry about college basketball, but it's kind of annoying to think that they're going to do that on that day. Like, can't they do it on Tuesday, March 10th, when absolutely nothing in the sports world is going on at all?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is really cutting at you is what this is doing. The basketball game's going on the same day. And, you know, if they're doing this reveal with the basketball games going on, like, you can't have a concert on Broadway then, can you? I don't know. Like, are they going to do a Florida-Georgia line 2.0? They bringing somebody else out there?
That's a good point. They certainly know. Yeah, they certainly, like, when they did that, there was nothing going on. So they certainly know that the SEC tournament is happening, so they probably can't do that. So what is going to be the thing? Like, what are they going to do? Is there going to be some kind of a live appearance somewhere, or is this just going to be like, you're just going to throw it on the internet and let people go nuts about it?
Robert Saleh and Liam Cohen charity boxing match.
Oh, man.
Right there on Broadway. That got to be awesome.
It wouldn't last long, but, I mean, it'd be a fun idea. Be like two hits.
Liam Cohen's gone down in 8 seconds. It's unbelievable.
I mean, seriously, he'd be like one of those tomato cans that Tyson used to fight. Like Peter, what the heck was that dude's name? Like Peter, they did like a Pizza Hut commercial with the guy. Like, oh my God, someone help me on the text.
You're way older than me.
I know. It was like Peter, I think he had like an Irish last name, and like Tyson like destroyed him in a matter of seconds. And then somehow he got a Pizza Hut commercial. I know someone out there is going to help me out with this. This is very important. Okay.
I look forward to it on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
This is when things like this come up, and it's like I'm
talking, you know, Peter McNeely.
Yes, Dennis did it. You and Dennis. Oh, there we go. Peter McNeely. Yes, one of Tyson's tomato cans. And I swear he got like some kind of Pizza Hut commercial off getting obliterated by Tyson. I mean, I'm not kidding you. So that would be from Peter McNeely to Liam Cohen. Yeah, it'd be like two hits, him getting hit in the face and then him hitting the ground. But I like the idea. I like the idea of the Titans trying to do something in person. What would it be?
I don't know.
It lasted 1 minute and 29 seconds, that fight, apparently.
Okay, it's not bad.
Yep.
It's longer than the Liam Cohen-Robert Saleh fight would last.
That is true. Yeah, I mean, unless Liam just ran. just running around. Trying to do like the Three Stooges, whoop, 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 and just like running around trying to be avoided. That's the only way. Did you see him get asked about that?
I did.
On what was it, on McAfee?
I think so. Yeah. He's excited to have Sol in the division.
Yeah. He definitely didn't look like he wanted to talk any more trash.
No.
He was kind of like, please stop asking me, please. Okay. I'm just going to smile and let's move on, please.
I don't know when they play. Or like, you know, obviously in May, we'll find out the schedule. I need Titans Jags to be pretty early, man. Like I want it to be. I'm not saying you got to open the season with it, but let's do Titans Jags pretty early here, and let's get this Sala Cohen rivalry cooking a little bit early in the year.
Well, yeah, the little. I'm trying to think. Is it the owners' meetings? Yeah, you know, where PK likes to serve up eggs to reporters that he kisses their butts. Is that what?
Yeah,
that
they
is?
Take pictures. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be. They need to be. Sala should just have him like in a headlock, you know, like totally just like play up the big brother little brother thing. Because seriously, like Liam Cohen's like half his size.
I mean, I think Cohen's a little bit bigger than you think, but yeah, he's not. I mean, he's certainly not as big as Robert Sala.
Is he?
Yeah.
Cohen looks to me like he's about 5'9". Am I wrong about that?
I think you are.
Okay. Okay. Well, still.
He's 6'1".
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's my fault. It still wouldn't go well.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. By the way, DJ on YouTube says, the real new chapter should be winning more than three games if you're the Titans. Well, hopefully that comes with it. That should not be a high bar to clear.
Yeah, that would be. That should be. Yeah, maybe don't talk about any, you know, the new chapter stuff until you do something. But, hey, man, we got new uniforms to talk about. I mean, what's more exciting in the world of sports?
That's true. We'll be joined by Ben Arthur from Fox Sports NFL coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, his thoughts on the AFC South, all that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Ben Arthur to the program from Fox Sports NFL. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing, guys? It's been a while.
Good, man.
Been a while, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Ben, obviously, NFL Combine this week, draft right around the corner, and the Titans have a new regime coming in, at least on the coaching front, with Robert Sala and his staff. So when you look at the roster for the Titans, which, as you know, has a lot of holes and needs a lot of things, how do you view this draft, particularly number four overall, where they're sitting in terms of maybe the way that you'd like to see them go?
Yeah, I think having Robert Sala come in, you know, defensive-minded head coach, I would think that the Titans going for a foundational piece on the defensive side of the ball would make a lot of sense, right? Like an edge rusher who you could depend on to get pressure on the quarterback, right? Jeffrey Simmons was really your only threat to get after guys and doing so from an interior alignment. So having someone that you could pair with him on passing downs to really get after quarterbacks, to get after offenses, I think will make a lot of sense. I know from a pure sack number standpoint, the Titans actually ranked considerably well when you look at maybe that all the help that they need. But you really need an edge guy that you could depend on. You know, going to the 4-3 defense as well. I think with what Robert Sala likes to do, not a whole lot of blitzing. You want to be able to wreck games with your front four, and having someone to go with Jeff, to go with Tavondre Sweat, and you have Femi Aladejo in the picture, right? I think you had some guys like Jalen Harrell. I was spacing on his name for a second. Jalen Harrell come on later in the year, but I think you do need another guy who you can depend on to pair with Jeff. And so I think when you look at number four, I think it really makes sense to get a pass rusher.
Yeah, I would agree. Obviously, receiver is another clear need. I'm a big Mekhi Lemon fan. Maybe I'm just a little too down on Carnell Tate as the number four overall pick, but maybe it just does. Maybe it makes more sense. The edge rushers are a little bit better overall, but what about receiver with the Titans? Ben, you have the two young guys, fourth round picks last year. DK in particular showed some serious burst and upside. Yeah. There is the Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, you know, they could bring him back. I think there's been a lot of assumption that maybe they wouldn't. Where do you fall on that, on Ridley, and what they should do or need to do at that position to help Cam Ward?
Yeah, Ridley is a big wild card, right? But I do think it's notable that Daboll has a connection with him, right, through Alabama. So I don't, you know, when you think of him really designing this offense for Cam Ward and him already having familiarity with Calvin Ridley, maybe that bodes in the favor of him returning. It's hard to say at this point. But yeah, even if he is back, you do need another guy who could be a potential number one, right? Like you obviously want Elik, Iyemanner, and Chim Dike, those guys to take steps forward, but you absolutely need another guy for Cam, right? And I think it is notable just with Brian Daboll's offenses in the past, and I'm thinking particularly like just with Buffalo. When, you know, Josh Allen was playing some of his best ball, like when he did have a guy in the slot, right, who you could really depend on, like a high-volume target, someone who's maybe not afraid to get hit over the middle. And maybe that's where a guy like Mekhi Lemon, your guy from USC, maybe that makes sense in that regard. But there are a number of different directions that they could take. But yeah, regardless of if Calvin Ridley is back or not, you absolutely need a guy who you can see as a future number one for Cam.
Ben, what intrigues you the most about the Cam Ward, Brian Daboll pairing as the Titans are about to embark on that?
I think it's obvious just what he's done for Josh Allen, right? And can he, obviously that jump with Josh happened his third year, right? But can, like, how much growth can Cam show in year two under Daboll, a guy who's, you know, worked extensively with a number of quarterbacks? I think seeing exactly how their relationship will grow from like a football standpoint, like we've heard about the relationship they started to build during the pre-draft process last year, and so you obviously want to see that to continue now that Daboll is with the Titans. But just him getting Cam to see maybe the game in different ways, teach him some things here and there, you know, footwork, mechanics, all those things need improvement as well. But I think one interesting thing too, like how much more Cam could potentially be using his legs in 2026, I mean, I think we've seen it with quarterbacks Daboll has had, whether it's Josh Allen or even Daniel Jones or Jackson Dart last year. I mean, all of those guys are more mobile than Cam, right? But I think we did see, I think particularly after the bye, maybe towards the second half of the year, that he could, you know, make some things happen as a scrambler, whether it was scramble to throw or just kind of take off. If kind of the coverage dictated that opening for him. And so I do think Cam could be using his legs more in 2026. And so I think that's something to watch for as well.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks who can use their legs well, Ben, and Titans related, Malik Willis, I know someone today just, you know, ranked him, I guess, the number one free agent. Obviously, he's one of the most coveted free agents, which is wild for those of us who, watched him on the practice field here, and it was like, man, it's tough. I mean, my question was kind of like, okay, can this guy entrench himself as a backup in the league? And now he goes to Green Bay. He does some really impressive things. I'm still a little bit like, man, is that what he is? Is he going to be a really good starter? I still have a little skepticism left, but I know there's been some talk about the Colts. We don't know what's going on with Daniel Jones. Miami is an obvious possibility. The Jets are, unfortunately, an obvious possibility for just about any quarterback. But how do you see that playing out? And do you think are you bought in on Malik Willis as a starter in this league?
I don't know about that. Like he looked terrific, right? Whenever he's had the chance to play with Green Bay, I think being under Matt LaFleur did wonders for him, taking a back seat, learning from Jordan Love as well. a really offensive-minded, a quarterback-minded staff really did him well. And I think the big thing in Tennessee was he always needed time, right? Like, he always needed time. Like, I remember some of the chatter of him coming out of Liberty, right? Like, he's going to need a lot of time. And with the Titans situation, he was kind of forced into playing much earlier than he really should have been. And you've kind of seen that development over time. But I'm not completely sold just because we haven't we haven't seen him enough, right? I don't have the exact number of starts he's had in front of him, but it couldn't have been more than three or four, right? With Green Bay. And so he's probably going to get a lot more money than he should, but I think it would make sense for him to get like a Justin Fields type of deal, right? Like, I think it was last year around like 2 years, $40 million and like 30 guaranteed or something like that, right? Like money that shows that, yeah, you could probably be our starting quarterback for this season, but like, you need to show us more. I think that makes the most sense. Obviously, him and his camp, his agent, like, they're going to push for more. And considering all the teams that have openings for a starting quarterback, and you could throw Miami and Arizona in there too, because Murray and Tua are probably gone from those respective teams, right? All that is going to inflate the value for Malik, which is good in terms of his pockets. But I think from a rational standpoint, it probably makes sense for him to maybe have more of a Justin Fields deal as opposed to even like what a Sam Darnold got last year, which was what, like, or a Baker Mayfield type of deal, maybe a $30 million per year type thing. I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think you'd have to go more conservative.
Ben, thanks so much for being with us this morning, man. Really appreciate your time as always.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Yep, Ben Arthur, our guest here on the program. That's going to do it for us today. Next man up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.